Brian Duncan, I heard the bells on Christmas Day, WWIB 14 and a half before 6 o'clock, and we bring Jason Kanz in. And I think that song has extra meaning this year. I like the Casting Crowns version, but that has extra meaning for us this year, doesn't it?
Yeah, I sure hope it has extra meaning for us. You know, one of the good practices, these songs become so familiar to us, mm-hmm. we often don't slow down to listen to the lyrics, and mm-hmm. I think that is really good and important.
Yeah. First thoughts, best 5 minutes of the day. You saw someone yesterday who has been catching our little visits here in the morning?
Yeah, so you know, every once in a while someone will mention that they listen to us, and it's kind of a neat thing to have that happen. And as the person said, put half a face to a name, because of course we are masked, and I thought that was a good way to put it. And
yeah.
So it was just really neat to have that opportunity to have someone who listens in, and as we've said more than once, it's always good to hear from people mm-hmm. who listen in, because at 5:45, sometimes it feels like it's just you and me
yep.
in the morning. And
that's a good way to start.
So it's good.
Yeah,
yep.
And again, prior to this, hey, reading a devotion, but having that relational connection, I know for me, as a guy who loves listening to radio and podcasts, I mean, just you draw from people's relational connection. All right, Luke 15 today, and I'll go first. Yeah, what stood out to me reading this, it felt like in a fresh and new and deeper way, was this is, of course, the story of the lost, this, that, and the other thing, right? So you got the
yep.
the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son, but particularly verse 20 of Luke 15 having to do with the father. And again, this father who got burned, I mean, you know can yep. I have my inheritance? You're not even dead. And so yep. the younger son, but that he's... And while he was still a long distance away, I mean, the dad was looking, hoping, dreaming, praying. His father saw him coming, filled with love and compassion. He ran mm-hmm. to his son, right? We've heard it enough times that guys like that didn't run. He's running.
Right.
He embraced him and kissed him. And then it just continues on, Jason, from that. I mean, the words are like, quick. Bring the finest robe and put him on, get a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, kill the fattened calf. I mean, it's just as, I want to just dwell on that more in terms of that embodying God's heart.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there has probably been a lot of ink spilled over that parable in particular, and for good reason, because I think it shows the heart of God. Mm-hmm. For me, it was verse 21 is kind of what I cued in on. And again, there's so much good that's there. And it's the son returning. The father has just run out to him. And it says, Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And for me, I think, you know, I read all this stuff about the grace and compassion and love of God. But still, there's this hook there that says, yeah, but is God really that good? Is the father really that wealthy?
Mm.
And I'm reminded, I've probably shared it with you before, but in 2011, John Acuff wrote a blog post called Thinking God Will Run Out of Welcome Home Batters.
Hmm.
And I've read it dozens of times, and I'll post it on my Facebook page this morning.
Yeah.
But it's kind of, he presents the story of the prodigal son in two ways. One is kind of, how do we expect God will treat us, you know, kind of settling up accounts, or this lavish grace that God shows us, and he does it in a really unique way. And for me, just the reminder that I can't out-sin God's grace and mercy.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. Excellent. Well, I appreciate how the Spirit working in both of us and work those together, sharing on Luke 15. Also, when you engage in this exercise, reading a chapter of Luke each day, 24 chapters, boom, you get done Christmas Eve, and then it's Christmas Day. And also it gives you a sense of we're getting closer to the end. We're getting closer to Christmas, right?
We are. I was actually just thinking about that before we got on
yeah.
and thinking about, this is a really good way to count down to the end of the year. So.
It is. But this year, the COVID Christmas, it just feels different.
Yep. Yeah. You and I were talking off the air.
Yeah.
You know, I've seen my mom for a total of an hour this year.
Yeah.
You haven't seen your mom very much.
No.
And how do we continue to live in hope despite everything seeming different?
You rely on texts and video conversations and phone calls, and it is different, and you hope and pray we can truly get through this. The vaccine some healthcare workers getting vaccinated yesterday, so we'll see what happens with that.
Jason, we'll talk to you. I think I've also been relying on cheese. So, all right, we'll leave it at that.
All right, thank you. All right, the keto diet has done him well.
Sometimes around the Christmas season, you may be indulging a bit more than usual. And then sometimes you don't feel it till the morning, right? And then it's, wow, maybe ate a little bit too much, maybe feeling the poundage more. Well, here's a little trick for you. The University of Sussex in the United Kingdom says what you smell can also determine how you feel specifically about your weight. Their study finds sniffing lemons can actually help people feel thinner.
Sniffing lemons.
Again, this is just putting a cosmetic Band-Aid on it, right? Because it doesn't actually make you thinner. It just makes you feel thinner. On the other hand, stay away from vanilla. The scent of vanilla can make you feel thicker and heavier.
Wow. Okay.
So I'm thinking that, you know, that has nothing to do with the fact that maybe I have some pandemic pounds. I think there must just be vanilla scents all over my house, and that's why I just feel those LBs a little bit more.
Yeah, right.
Something else they discovered, sounds of stiletto heels make study participants walk faster than if they heard lower pitch sounds like that of heavier boots. So I'm thinking, sniff some lemons, but then have people around you constantly walking in stilettos, so then you walk faster, burn more calories, and then you actually not only feel thinner, but are thinner.
There you go. I'm all for all of that. Any kind of help we can get, for sure. So,
lemons, huh?
Smell it, if that's what it takes to, you know, but beyond, you know, feeling thinner, it'd be nice to somehow survive the challenges and all the temptations and the goodies, like people bringing chocolate in from Germany.
Everything in moderation.
Just
right?
Like I did today. This headline struck me odd, Caleb. 1 in 5 Americans have been injured while setting up Christmas trees.
How? I mean, I'm trying to figure out how that would happen, and I know we set up our Christmas tree. It has been knocked over by the children a couple times. I don't really know. Like, setting up, it's not like with the saw, like going out to the Christmas tree farm and cutting it down or anything. Just
now, I think when I
in the house
when I read this the second time, I'm thinking, okay, it doesn't mean just this year. I mean, it must mean ever, right?
I suppose.
I don't know.
Well, it's a survey. Okay, according to a survey from Lending Tree, maybe that's the tree that's injuring people, taking out too much debt. 1 in 5 Americans have reportedly been injured while setting up their Christmas tree this year. That number is 122% higher than last year. And of course, usually when you're talking about silly injuries, the majority of these injuries, men. But I'm still trying to figure out how to... All right. How does that? What would you do? Buddy the elfing it?
How is COVID somehow related to this? I mean, is it a lack of exercise, or it's the pandemic pounds? What's prompting that massive an increase in Christmas tree injuries?
I mean, 122% year over year, and it's largely younger whippersnappers. 27% of Gen Z. 24% of millennials, only 5% of baby boomers reported experiencing injury while setting
because
up their Christmas tree.
The younger folks put it up. That's why.
I'm trying to figure out how you could hurt yourself doing that, and it's sort of escaping me.
Let's
so
ask the listeners, did you hurt yourself putting up the tree this year? Apparently, lots of people are. Everybody's doing it.
Are you one of the 122%?
Yeah, I don't
know. That's gone up.
715-396-1670.
We want to know. We're curious. Tell us your story. We'll feel bad for you.
All right. WWIB and kids and credit cards here this morning on our minds, huh?
Well, so this is something that may be true for a lot of you as you have switched from perhaps an office type job going into work on a regular basis to working from home. Well, 6-year-old George Johnson and his mother spent a lot of time at home together. His mom, a real estate broker, Jessica, worked from home largely during the pandemic. They're from Connecticut. Well, while she was working, she occupied her 6-year-old sometimes with school. But, you know, when you're that young, you don't necessarily have things to do all day. So he used his mama's iPad and went on a shopping spree. He played his favorite video game.
This is like 12 Days of Christmas, right?
Yeah. Sonic Forces, it's called. I've never heard of that before. Playing Sonic Forces over about a 6-month period, George racked up $16,000 in App Store charges from Apple while playing that. Left his mom in shock. So if you've seen some of these games before, and this is why I try and keep my kids from playing those games with add-ons, George bought these add-on boosters. So he loves the Sonic Forces game. Started small with $199 charges for red rings. Well, he moved up to gold rings in this game, cost $99.99 a piece.
Wow.
It allowed him access to new characters and more speed. He spent hundreds of bucks at a time. In fact, on one day, July 9th, a fateful day, when Mom Jessica was working in the next room, 6-year-old George tallied up $2,500 in charges. It all led up to $16,293.10. And so, of course, Mama Jessica, she discovers Apple and PayPal were withdrawing hefty sums from her Chase account. Took her a while, so she must do pretty well for herself. Anyway, so she said, I went to my bank. I went to my bank and said, there's fraud.
Right.
There's fraud.
Right.
Well, she realized later it was George, her 6-year-old, only when she reached out to Apple and was walked through a, quote, buried running list of all the charges. Because she didn't call Apple within 60 days to dispute the charges, she is on the hook for the entire 16 grand.
Wow.
But she didn't call within 60 days because she thought it was fraud.
Man.
That is a lot.
Well, even if you think it's fraud, still, I guess my experience has been
calling as soon as you can. Everyone.
Yes.
I'm still kind of amazed. I mean, because here's the thing. With my family, like, if my kids were playing a game and it's like, whoa, they just spent $6 on something that we didn't plan on spending.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like, hey, we need to have a talk about not playing these games where you can buy extra things. But $16,000, just a whole nother world to me.
That is,
George.
Quite the story.
That might be your Christmas present. That counts for Christmas. And birthday.
Until
you leave the house.
For a few years. I want to just real quickly here talk about centenarians, people who get close to 100 or beyond and still being active. It's interesting.
Yeah.
For starters, our own Mabel Louise Stewart, a week from today, she's going to turn 98.
It's just incredible.
Yeah, and that's fantastic. Still on with Pat Wall Tuesdays and Thursdays from home, right?
Yeah, when she can.
Yeah, when she's can. So that's been amazing. Meanwhile, Major League Baseball's oldest former player will turn 100 today. Eddie Robinson played first base over a 15-year career from 42 to 57. So after that, worked his way up to being GM of the Atlanta Braves in the 70s and the Texas Rangers, a four-time All-Star who lives in Texas, 100 years old. So. And finally, the Wisconsin Badgers, they're against Loyola of Chicago tonight, right?
Yeah, so playing Loyola at 7 o'clock tonight. And Sister Jean, and
yes.
Sister Jean became very famous when Loyola made that incredible March Madness NCAA tournament run. And she's
And they
their
got to the Final Four, was that right?
I believe so, okay. Or it was really close.
Okay.
And they just had an incredible tournament, and Sister Jean became sort of the unofficial, like, cheerleader mascot of this team. She's their chaplain, but everyone, you know, you see all these, you know, 18 to 22-year-old young men, you know, they love Sister Jean,
yeah.
And so they'd go over and receive her congratulations whenever they'd win yet another game. I mean, she was very dear to them.
She turned 101 back in August. She's 5 foot tall. She is still the team's chaplain.
Very cool.
That is something. So anyhow, recognizing some of those approaching or already arriving at 100.
I never had this problem either when I was picking out and purchasing an engagement ring for my lovely wife, Lindsay. I didn't have someone say, hey, take it back because you didn't spend enough.
Wow.
But this happened. This happened. Not sure exactly where these folks are from, but this was a Reddit post. A woman reportedly returned her engagement ring to her fiancé because it did not cost 10% of his salary. The ring was made of white gold with diamonds and sapphires, and it cost the man about $3,000. Ladies, weigh in on this. I think that's a good chunk of change to spend on an engagement ring. However, the man allegedly makes enough that if he followed this 10% rule of spending 10% of his salary, he should have spent $10,000 to $15,000 and not $3,000. So the man posted about his dilemma on Reddit, asking if he'd done the wrong thing by only spending $3,000 on the ring. Again, it's not about the ring. It's not about the wedding. It's about the marriage. Let's remember that.
Uh-huh.
In the post, he explained that while he does make a sizable salary, this year has been somewhat challenging because he's been financially supporting his parents, his sister, and his nephew, who all had COVID and lost income.
Hello, fiancé.
He's still supporting
his
sister, who totally lost her job.
Huh.
To make matters worse, he said his job announced that 150 people will be laid off next year, so he wanted to be smart about his spending. I feel like Dave Ramsey would just wrap this guy up in a bear hug, COVID
sure.
or not.
Yeah.
So he said, yes, the ring I bought was $3,000, but it was designed in a specific way that his fiance wanted. He even had the sapphire custom cut into the pear shape that she preferred. And here's the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The man says initially she was very happy with this until her mother called it cheap.
And her mother is a jeweler.
He said she's since given it back to me and accused me of undervaluing her and what she does for me. Ladies, you weigh in, because again, we're talking men and women here. I feel like this gentleman might need to say, I caught a break here, and I should just cut baits and go back to being single until I find someone who isn't quite so money motivated.
I think also...
Am I wrong?
Some of those potential mother-in-law problems may loom in his future. Goodness. They're starting right now.